A very warm welcome to this World Game Changers podcast, where your host, Paul D. Lowe, embraces many crucial conversations that compassionately contribute towards creating a better life and world. Paul's intention is very simple, to help get people's inspirational insights and motivational messages out into the world so others may benefit.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to this World Game Changers podcast episode. New guest today, listeners, new guest, gentleman from London, Charlie F. Grave. Charlie, a very warm welcome to you, sir.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And, listeners, financial freedom. At what cost? How do we do it? How do we achieve it? Big topic, Charlie. Big topic. Much needed topic. But before we dive into that, let's set the scene, if we may. You and I spoke privately around a number of things, but one of them is this topic of time, love, or money. Which matters most? Might be a good foundation for us to start.
Yeah, 100%, I agree with you. And as you mentioned, we did speak privately and we spoke about numerous things. And the one thing that I feel like we resonated with the most is sort of that journey to unlocking your time again. You know, as we mentioned, a lot of people, they trade their time, which is the most valuable commodity as such, for things that can be replaceable and even printed, if we're speaking about money, you know. And I 100% agree with you, what you said about the fact that this is something that is needed to be spoken about. And it's something that, you know, myself and yourself can resonate with too. So hopefully everyone else listening can get some kind of information or, you know, some kind of inspiration from this, 100%.
So let's look at the time concept then, if we may. Yeah. 86,400 seconds in every single day. Mm-hmm. I call them moments, not seconds. Mm-hmm. So we've all got the same amount of currency to trade each day. Surely, you know, and how many times, Charlie, have we heard that saying, oh, do you know what, there's not enough hours in a day, or I've run out of time, or what have you. But surely the reality is we've all got the same trading currency each day. It's how we invest it and where we invest it for the best return on investment, is it not?
100%, I agree with you. And there's an age-old saying, which is, you know, if you had, say there was 86,000 odd seconds in a day, if you had the same amount of money, you know, and somebody ruined, say, I don't know, £10 of your 86,000, would you let that affect the rest of the pot you have there? And it's the same with time management as such. As you mentioned, you know, time is such a valuable and important thing. And in the same retrospect, it's like everyone has the same 24 hours. And as you put it perfectly, not everybody chooses to do the same things. And it definitely highlights, you know, the people who are succeeding in life and the people who are dragging behind. So if anybody's listening and they feel like there's something that, you know, they're missing in life, or there's something that they're not having enough time to do, you definitely have enough time. It's just how you're using your time and how you're using your money even is something that's, you know, it's putting you in a different direction. We spoke also about sort of energies and things like that. It's the same with time, you know. What you output is what you'll get as an input. So instead of focusing on all of the, you know, how much am I going to make doing this, or what am I going to do, just focus on the input and everything will take care of itself. The output isn't something that we can necessarily control as such, but definitely the input and how you use the certain things such as time matter paramountly. So as you can appreciate, you know, time is such an important thing, and wasting it for anything, as you said, they're moments, they're not just seconds, you know. Each time that we, you know, dwell on things from the past and we don't appreciate what's ahead of us as such, it is a time spent poorly, as I can put it. So you put it absolutely perfectly, that time is the most important thing ever. You know, it's something that we can't replace, we can't print, and sometimes we can't even quantify. We're just learning on the go. But as far as I'm concerned, time is something that we need to hold on to dearly.
Okay. So time, love, or money. Time is the numero uno. So let's focus on the money aspect then, Charlie, if we may. The money aspect, and this particular aspect of financial freedom. I mean, what does that term? We've heard the term, but what does it actually mean, financial freedom?
Good question. So for me, financial freedom means that you're not exchanging your time for money. It's sort of the appreciation and the conglomerate thinking and about how, money's printed, and the fact that you can't print time, it says it all. If it's something that isn't replicatable, then you should hold on to it for dear life, as I like to put it, and that's 100% paramount. Money is something that, as you can appreciate, it's printed. It's more of an ideology than something that's actually valuable and actually, something that we should chase. I feel like financial freedom for myself personally is, as I mentioned, not trading your valuable time for things that can be printed out of thin air,
Okay. So one of the things that, I was certainly brought up with this. I don't subscribe to it, and I haven't subscribed to it for a long, long, long time, decades now, in fact. But certainly from my early years, conditioning coming from a very earthy, traditional working class background was money is the root of all evil. Any thoughts on that saying, Charlie?
I feel like potentially, and not to be too government specific and things like that, but I feel like obviously there's a lot of sort of negative connotations about money, and there's a lot of things that are, they could have been used as propaganda to make people see money in a different way, sort of as something that's not achievable, that's not utilitable, and something that, as you mentioned, is quite evil. And I feel like the fact that that saying was invented as such. The substance behind it is what we should look at. I'm not quite sure where that originates from or how it came about, but in the sense of I've heard it across my whole life. As you appreciate, I'm 23. I've heard that saying a lot from people of the older generation too, and it's something that I feel like is built on something that that has an ulterior motive or an ulterior sort of meaning behind it.
I think it actually originates from the Bible, and there's a phrase in there, the love of money is the root of all evil. So it's not money itself, because as we know, money is an energy. But if we worship money for the sake of worshipping money, then that's a different energy altogether. Because surely, as a, energies are there to serve us, and we dance with that energy accordingly, depending on, where we're at in our world. And I think money is a beautiful energy, and it's our relationship with money, which actually in many respects is a reflection of the relationship we've got with ourselves.
100%, I agree with you completely. And it's interesting what you said lastly there, that it's a reflection on the relationship which we have with ourselves. And that's a very articulate way of putting it. Because at the end of the day, as you can appreciate, and as you mentioned, we all have the same 24 hours, as everyone likes to say. So the fact that, how you use certain things, how you use money, how you use time, how you use love, how you even use the food you eat and the exercise you do and the relationships around you. I feel like what's the most important in life is utilizing them for benefits other than utilizing them for negatives as such.
And just going back to something you said earlier about the simplistic terms of input and output, just put a lot into things, give unconditionally, love unconditionally, because the other thing that will come out the other side, there's so many variables in life, isn't there? But I've come to understand that, so long as we come from good intentionality and good heart, what we do, that investment we make, is return multifold, whether that's financial, doesn't matter what the energy is. If that comes from goodness of the heart with pure intention, then the return on investment is multifold.
100%, I agree with you. And like we mentioned a moment ago, the fact that it's a reflection on your life in general, once you start, emitting and outputting positivity and the right work ethic and the right sort of even how you talk to yourself and how you think about yourself, a lot of people they're looking for, even to develop on what you said, they're looking for sort of external validation and they're looking for, quick gratification with things. And to be honest with you, like you said, just focus on what you want to receive in life and then you'll get it. And that's something that isn't actually spoken about enough. So it's amazing that you mentioned it.
So this financial freedom then, how do we actually achieve it? Or more to the point, how have you managed to achieve that? What journey have, you've already alluded to the fact that you're 23, but that's in my book totally irrelevant. Age is a label, totally irrelevant, but you've been on a journey, you've achieved what your definition and understanding of financial freedom is. How have you done that, Charlie?
Essentially, I'll start off with my early days as such. I'll be honest with you. All I used to think about when I used to watch films, watch cartoons and things like that, I always used to think about how can you become rich? How are these people doing that? I remember when I got to the age I could watch Scarface even. I watched him and I thought, how is he doing this? Like, this just seems like if he has that, I want that. And there must be some kind of way. And since I was a very young boy, you know, all I ever dreamed about and fantasized about as such was making money. There was just some kind of feeling towards just life being successful only if you make enough money. There was no other external things that would make me happy other than, you know, being a multi-millionaire with the biggest house. And funny enough, later on in life, I learned that, you know, that means nothing. And if I started chasing that, then that would be something that would leave me hollow inside as such, you know. So how I started my journey on financial freedom was recognizing that, you know, you don't actually need money to be financially free as such. And although that's quite a heavy term to put it, you know, how I utilized things is I learned to appreciate the small things and build on the things that made me happy. And then everyone who's listening to this can probably resonate with that. Even if you're someone who likes to bake at home, you know, you should use the things that make you happy first, and then you should start making money from them because it'll make other people happy and you can share the feelings that you share to your friends, yourself, and your family. So how I actually done it financially on the other side is what I utilized was I saw things for, you know, I saw things for what they were in the day and age. It's all social media, you know, even the fact that myself and yourself are speaking here directly, you know, you're across the world as such. That's such a beautiful thing. And I just thought to myself, you know, I used to be a consumer of content. I used to watch YouTube all day, you know. I used to watch, as I mentioned, films and cartoons and whatnot. And I was always, you know, I was always absorbing content and never actually creating it as such. You know, when I was younger, I tried YouTube channels and recording my gameplay clips, and you know, just how you would as a younger adult. And then it clicked. You know, the fact that I'm looking at people's content and I'm watching things and they're doing things that I like. Why don't I try and do the things that they're doing and I'm watching? If I do it, other people will watch me. And I just thought, like, that was just such a concept that was just, you know, it was new to me. It was something that was so relevant to my upbringing and how it came about. And obviously, as we can appreciate, you know, it's the age of social media as such. So what I tried to utilize is the connectivity and the communication aspect mostly. So what I first got into is I first got into sort of drop shipping things and stuff like that. I had a women's beauty care niche on a drop shipping page. I learned how to make the page myself, and then I sat there and I thought, why am I making the page myself when there's probably someone who's a lot better and I can focus on making other business ideas as such and they can focus on the website. So what I did is I outsourced that to someone, and then it clicked again. The fact that there's social media, the fact that there's people who are willing to communicate and do things and trade their time for money, I thought to myself, well, how can I take a step back, see it for what it is, and how can I utilize all of these avenues? So that led me on to building my social media marketing agency as such, because then obviously, as you can appreciate, what you do is you're leveraging people's time to make you money. And also in return for that, obviously, when they build themselves up, then they can start doing the same thing. And an SMMA as such for myself was just the perfect combination of, you know, social media, sort of freelancing and just basically communication in general. Just I thought to myself, how can I communicate with as many people as I can who can offer me as many things as I can? And then, yeah, I can just go from there.
Fascinating. Fascinating. So what I'm hearing here is really, it's not whether you've got millions in the bank. It's what kind of contentment, inner peace. That's priceless, isn't it?
Yeah,
That's priceless.
100%. I agree with you. You know, as you can appreciate, no amount of money can put your sense on your peace of mind as such. And that's just something that, and I feel like a lot of the things that we're mentioning here, they're less of destinations as such, and they're more of journeys in the sense of a lot of people are fixate on the end goal. If I make this much, I will feel like this. But the difference is you have to feel like that before you make that much, or you'll never make that much. So people have to understand it all starts within.
Which is it's a leap of faith, isn't it? And I think it's relatively easy to assert that when you've been on that journey. But when you're kind of, I don't know, starting out, you know, at the bottom looking up a big mountain, that's a big leap of faith to take, isn't it? It's like, well, where do I even start with this? You know, so where do people start, Charlie? What advice would you you give to somebody that says, you know what, I really like this thought and this whole idea of being financially free. But
Yeah.
what where do I start? Because I'm looking up at a massive mountain.
Yeah, I agree with you. So that's what I said. So how I could put it in the best way is start by doing something you love and other people will love it too. And why I mentioned even making cakes and baking in general and things like that is because people can resonate with things like that, you know? If you have a passion, whether it's drawing, whether it's baking, whether it's, you know, even if you're someone who buys certain products, I think people can realise that if you've bought that and you enjoy that and you've sort of made some kind of, you know, purpose with that, then other people will enjoy it and buy it off you and use your purpose and things like that. So I feel like what you have to do, and my advice to people is I would look at your personal habits in terms of, you know, creating business for other people and think, well, why can't I create this business for myself? You know, even little things like if you're buying things such as beauty products, for example, then you can sell beauty products to the same kind of people who are buying them because, you know, you're the market research and you're the niche. So who's better to sell things that you buy yourself? You know, so that's another way I think of it. But I just feel like a lot of people know what to do. It's just that for some reason they don't do it, you know, whether it's that they blame someone else, they say that their past has affected them and things like that. And I appreciate that all of these things are valid, but a lot of the time people know what to do and know how to get there. It's just that they delay it till tomorrow, thinking tomorrow's promised and tomorrow never comes. You know, if you're holding back anything in life, you need to go for it. And I feel like a lot of people have the answers and they know that deep down.
Okay, fascinating. So what advice would you give as well, Charlie? I mean, can people go solo? Is it better to go solo? Or is there strength in a partnership?
Definitely strength in a partnership. But it's okay to go solo at all. At the same time, you know, as you can appreciate, there's the age old saying, you know, if you want something done properly, you do it yourself. And I feel like at the same time, although that sounds selfish as such, there's other people who can do the same job but better than you. It's just that it's always good to start solo, in my opinion, and then you can learn to leverage your position and you can learn to leverage your network. But to scale up to certain opportunities and scale up to certain levels, you can't do it on your own. You have to utilize your team and your family and things like that. And to go solo, you know, it's like going to war. You know, I see businesses going to war with the like, you know, if you're in an army as such, you know, you'd rather have soldiers around you, although you think you're the big bad, this and that, you can't. Like, you have to leverage the things around you and you have to have strength in numbers. So I feel like start solo, see how you go. And then once you build yourself to a certain position, then you can learn to leverage that. And then you can bring in other people who, you know, strengthen part of the team.
Okay. So what does the future look like for you then, Charlie, with this, you know, this financial freedom foundation that you've got in place, this, you know, these lessons that you've learnt? What does it look, you know, what is, I'm gonna play devil's advocate. What's the point? What's the point? What's it look like going forward?
100%. So the point to myself is I want to, as I mentioned, I come from a past of which, you know, it was quite difficult, you know. I had mental health issues. I was set back by a lot of things, you know, we'll put it like that. And people can definitely resonate with what I'm saying here. And the reason why that, you know, I want to, the point for me and the reason why I want to carry on is because I want other people to, you know, to find some kind of inspiration or some kind of motivation or some kind of consistency from what I'm saying and what I'm trying to preach and what I'm trying to, you know, let out there. And I feel like the point for myself, apart from being monetary, you know, is people who was in the position that I used to be in when I wanted help, like the help that I'm offering, you know, it was hard for me to navigate through, you know, all the YouTube videos and all of the advice I'm getting from all different places and things like that. So what I'm doing is I'm just trying to compile it all together in myself. And I'm trying to basically give people the things that mattered to me when I was starting. And to be honest with yourself, that means more than money to me, you know. The fact that I can inspire and I can help people. As I mentioned, I have my community network on Discord even. And I just want to help people who, you know, who is in a position of vulnerability even, or even a position of power, you know. I just want to find the power in networking and the power of communication. And I want to just find the power in teaching again, you know. Everyone's selling a course, everyone's selling something. And I just feel like at the end of the day, we're all human at the end of the day, you know, and my opinion on money, I feel like it puts me in a position where I can teach people the principles that matter more than making money. And they're the foundations that actually make you money as such. So all in all, The reason why I do it is to help people in the position that I wish that I had help when I was in that position. So that's how I see it.
What, listening to that, what that speaks to for me is the highest human need of all, which is contribution. You know, why are we actually here? And you know, we'll all have our own different takes upon that. I'm not saying one's right, one's wrong. You know, we live within the understanding of our own truth or perceived truth, don't we? And we, you know, through various experiences that might get tweaked, challenged, changed, whatever. But certainly a place that I've landed, which is the essence of World Game Changers, is to leave the world a better place. You know, the rest that we're traveling through, you know, to enjoy a good life, to enjoy a peaceful life is, you know, as we spoke about, you know, a few moments earlier, is real richness, is real richness. And I think when we can contribute through messages, you know, it's interesting what you're saying there about, you know, baking cakes or, you know, whatever it is. For me, my metaphoric baking cake is to share messages, messages of inspiration, not just from, you know, hopefully myself, but from people that have even tried a completely different or polarized path. Because who's to say I'm right, they're wrong, or vice versa? I think what we do, we create platforms, we share our messages, we contribute with good intentionality. And those messages and the energy in which they're delivered will find a house or an ear, or not, as the case may be. We ain't going to please everybody, and neither should we want to try. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, 100%. And the fact that you're mentioning, you know, external gratification and things like that, you know, if you want to change the world, you have to look at yourself as such. And that's my opinions on everything in life. You know, a lot of people are looking for some kind of external, you know, push and external drive, and they're looking for a story to tell or something cool to happen so then they can, you know, get motivation and start sharing it. But at the end of the day, everyone who's listening, you know, your life matters. You are the niche. You know, you're the person that is going to be unique. You're the person that wants to be listened to, the same way that you're listening to ourselves on here. You know, it should inspire everyone to do exactly the same thing and start sharing their story. And they should start, you know, finding that gratification in themselves and what they've gone through. You know, they've been strong enough to go through everything that they have in life already. And there's other people who would love to hear their story and they would love to resonate with it. So as far as finding external gratification and things like that, just start loving yourself. And as you mentioned, other people will love you too. Trust me, you know, the fact that you guys listen to things and consume things and stuff like that, you guys should start creating things too, and you'll find a world full of inspiration and love for yourself.
Absolutely. Spot on. Any final thoughts, Charlie, on this this fascinating topic of financial freedom? Any other thoughts or messages that you'd like to leave?
Yeah, as such, I would just like to say to everyone, you know, you need to look within, you know, in the sense of you all have the answers and you all know what to do. Just keep doing them. And whatever holds you back and whatever sort of puts you off your end goal in life, you know, don't let that hold you back anymore. And even listening to this, trust me, you know, you'll find so much strength diving into the deep end of life. Trust me, you'll learn how to swim. Trust me, you know. And that's the thing. A lot of people, as I mentioned, the one message I would give to end this is you need to find within the things that you've been putting off in life, and you need to figure out why, and you need to try them. And then one day you'll look back and think, wow, I'm so glad I tried it. And if you don't, then that's up to you, and you'll have to regret that one day. And as far as something to leave this with once more, is the pain of actually going through things and doing things and, you know, succeeding will always be far less than the pain of not doing it and not succeeding. Trust me.
Very wise words. Very wise words. Thank you very much indeed, Charles. It's been a pleasure. Really has.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I'd also like to say thank you for everything you do as well. You know, the message that you provide to people and the fact that you've had me on your show and your platform, that just speaks the world about yourself. And I know for certain that the things we've spoken about today, where we both resonate with them, you'll be so happy looking back on your life at the legacy you've created and the fact that you've let so many people on with such a voice and, you know, from all different parts of the world and all different jurisdictions and all different stories. You know, you can sit there one day and think, wow, you know, I've helped become a voice of the world. You know, there's people for the world and there's people against them, and you're definitely one for them. So I'd just like to thank you for that, and also for my generation and my age. I know you mentioned it doesn't matter, but I just wanted to thank you for everything that you've done, and even taking the leap to start these podcasts, and even taking the leap to have someone like myself on. You know, I just wanted to thank you for that, and I really do appreciate it.
That's embraced, Charlie. And yeah, I really do. Well, reciprocally, thank you for that. It means a lot when people, because I think, we can get immersed in our own calling, our own vocation, and we just do it. We just do it. And every now and again, somebody just pops up and says, you know what? Thanks for that. And, it's a kind of, it's a cue really for a, just taking a breather to have a little bit of reflection, thinking, wow, okay. So, yeah, I'm waffling now. I tend to waffle a bit when,
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying completely. As you mentioned, you're not getting paid to do this with myself. You're doing it out of the fact of that, you want to share these things with other people, and that's something that's such a beautiful thing. So it's not waffling as such, I really, really resonate with what you're saying. And like I said, thank you so much, there, Paul.
Brilliant. And on that gratuitous note, listeners, let's draw it to a close the way that we always do it by saying, remember, the world's changing. How will you respond?
Thanks very much for listening to this World Game Changers podcast episode. Hopefully, you found it interesting and helpful. Drop a line to Paul at worldgamechangers.org with any thoughts or questions you may have, and he'll be more than happy to respond. Remember, the world's changing. How will you respond?